Chapter 6, Montana, Land and People. What makes Montana special? Who are some great Montanans? Have you ever sung the song America the Beautiful? It starts with these words. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. The person who wrote America the Beautiful was trying to express the greatness of the United States, but she could have been talking about Montana. Montana is known for its spacious or large skies. That's why one of our nicknames is Big Sky Country. Drive through the Golden Triangle area north of Great Falls in August, and you will see amber or yellow waves of grain. Look at Montana's mountains at sunset, and you will see purple mountain majesties. The land and sky make Montana special. Montana's people do too. Montanans are artists and farmers, ranchers and scientists. Here are just a few of the people whose stories are interwoven with the story of our state. Chief Dullknife, Morning Star, Leader, 1810 to 1883. Dullknife was also called Morning Star. He was a Northern Cheyenne chief who signed the 1868 Fort Laramie Treaty. A few years later, the U.S. government broke the treaty, agreement between nations. Dullknife and his people tried to live and hunt as they always had, but in 1877, the U.S. Army forced them to move 1,000 miles away to Indian Country, which is now Oklahoma. The Northern Cheyennes suffered in Indian Country, where it was very hot. There was not enough food. Many got sick and died. Chief Dullknife and Chief Little Wolf risked their lives to bring their people back to Montana. The journey was long and dangerous, and many people died. A year after Chief Dullknife died, the Northern Cheyenne Reservation in southern Montana was established. Dullknife believed strongly in education. That is why Chief Dullknife College on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation is named in his honor. Marcus Daly, Copper King, Butte, 1841 to 1900. Born to a poor family in Ireland, Marcus Daly came to America at age 15. He became a miner in California and then moved to Nevada. In Nevada, he learned how to recognize rich veins of ore. Daly went to work for the Walker brothers, who sent him to Butte, Montana, in 1876, to help them decide if they should buy a silver mine there. Daly soon realized that Butte had more copper than silver. He also realized that copper was going to become valuable. Copper wires are used to transport or move electricity, and people living in cities were just starting to use electric lights. To bring electricity to everyone's house required a lot of copper wire. Daly quietly bought up copper mines. He soon founded the town of Anaconda and built the world's largest copper smelter. By the time of his death, he was one of Montana's richest men. Evelyn Cameron, photographer, 1868 to 1928. Evelyn Cameron and her husband, Ewan, first came to Montana on a hunting trip they took for their honeymoon. They loved it so much that they decided to move to Terry, Montana, to ranch. Ewan was a scientist who studied birds. He was not interested in ranching, so Evelyn had to do most of the work herself. Even though it was hard, she loved it. She wrote in her diary, "I like to break colts, brand calves, cut down trees, ride, and work in a garden." She also liked to take photographs. In 1894, Evelyn Cameron got her first camera. She took beautiful pictures of the people, animals, and landscapes of southeastern Montana. Her photographs have been published or printed in several books and are also in the Montana Historical Society's collection. Charles M. Russell, artist, 1864 to 1926. A sculptor, painter, and storyteller, Charlie Russell is Montana's best-loved artist. He was born in St. Louis, Missouri, and grew up hearing stories about the Old West, which fascinated him. His parents thought he would get tired of the West once he tried living there, so they found him a job on a Montana sheep ranch when he was 16. Charlie hated sheep, but he loved Montana. He worked as a trapper and a cowboy, and all the time he drew, painted, and made sculptures. Charlie loved painting cowboys. He also loved painting Indians, as he imagined they had lived in the days before white settlement. In 1896, Charlie married Nancy Cooper, who became his business manager. Nancy shared Charlie's work with the world and made him famous. Today, his artwork can be seen in museums across the United States, including in Helena and Great Falls, Montana. Jeanette Rankin, politician, 1880 to 1973. Jeanette Rankin was born in Missoula, Montana. After graduating from college, she worked as a social worker. She soon decided that politicians needed to do more to help the poor. At the time, women could not vote, so Jeanette Rankin became a full-time suffrage activist, someone working to win women the right to vote. Once Montana women could vote, Rankin ran for office. She won and became the first woman elected to the U.S. Congress. Jeanette Rankin stood up for what she believed in, even when it was unpopular. She was a pacifist, someone who believes that problems cannot be solved by fighting. She would say, "You can no more win a war than you can win an earthquake." She served in Congress at the beginning of World War I and again at the beginning of World War II. Both times she voted against going to war. Taylor Gordon, singer, 1893 to 1971. Taylor Gordon grew up in White Sulphur Springs, Montana. His family was the only African-American family in the town. When he was 17, he got a job with rancher and circus owner John Ringling. He traveled across the United States with Ringling and ended up in New York City in the 1920s. Taylor Gordon went to Harlem, an all-black neighborhood in New York City. He became part of the Harlem Renaissance. Renaissance means rebirth. The Harlem Renaissance was a time when black artists, musicians, and writers celebrated their culture, shared customs and ideas, and heritage. Taylor Gordon began performing a traditional or old type of African-American music called spirituals. He became a hugely popular singer who performed across the United States and in Europe. Harriet Cushman, scientist, 1890 to 1978. Harriet Cushman was born in Alabama. She went to college in New York and earned degrees in chemistry and bacteriology, the study of bacteria. She went on to study poultry, birds raised on farms, like chickens and turkeys. In 1922, she took a job in Bozeman as Montana's first poultry specialist. She was one of the first women to work as a poultry specialist. Harriet Cushman traveled throughout Montana, teaching farmers everything they needed to know to raise healthy poultry. She started many 4-H groups so that kids could learn how to raise poultry too. Cushman's work was especially important during the Great Depression, when many farmers were struggling to make a living. She helped farmers find buyers and get good prices for their eggs and turkeys. Many people said that they would not have made it through the Depression without Harriet Cushman's help. Susie Walking Bear, Yellowtail, nurse, 1903 to 1981. Susie Walking Bear, Yellowtail, was born in Pryor, Montana. Like many other American Indians, she went to boarding school. Her teachers wanted her to give up her Crow language and culture, but Susie loved her culture. All her life, she helped other people learn about the Crow people and their culture. In 1923, Susie graduated from a nursing school in Boston. She was the first Crow tribal member to become a registered nurse. Working as a nurse, she often saw things that were unfair, and she always tried to make them better. She worked her entire life to improve Indian health care on the Crow Reservation and beyond. Susie Walking Bear, Yellowtail, also encouraged other tribal members to become nurses. She received many awards for her work, but her favorite was from the American Indian Nurses Association, a group she founded. The association named her Grandmother of American Indian Nurses. George Oye, soldier, 1922 to 2006. George Oye grew up near Three Forks, Montana, where his dad worked at the cement plant. In high school, he was co-captain of the 6-man football team and the starting quarterback. Oye's life changed dramatically on December 7, 1941, when the United States declared war against Germany, Italy, and Japan. People started treating anyone who looked Japanese as the enemy. George's parents were both born in Japan, and George's father lost his job. George tried to enlist in the army, and at first, the army refused to take him because of his family background. In 1943, the United States set up a special unit for Japanese American soldiers. Oye joined and became a staff sergeant. His unit won more medals than any other fighting unit of its size in American history. George Oye himself was awarded a Bronze Star for his bravery on the battlefield. Anna Beau Dahl, president of the Sheridan County Electric Cooperative, 1892 to 1986. Anna Beau Dahl moved to northeastern Montana in 1917. After teaching school for 2 years in Dagmar, she married farmer Andrew Dahl. Anna and Andrew's farm did not have electricity, which made life very hard. According to Anna, all the work had to be done by muscle power. Power companies would not build the power lines needed to bring electricity to isolated farms like the Dahls. It cost too much money. So, Anna Dahl worked with her neighbors to set up the Sheridan County Electric Cooperative, called the Co-op. When it started providing power in 1948, the Co-op brought electricity to over 600 families in Sheridan County. It soon expanded to serve parts of Roosevelt and Daniels counties, too. Dahl continued to work with the Co-op to help farm families like hers until she retired at age 75. Maurice Hillman, scientist, 1919 to 2005. Not every great Montanan stayed in the state. Maurice Hillman was born on a farm outside of Miles City, Montana. He credited the lessons he learned as a child on the farm and his education at Montana State University for his success. He became one of the most important scientists in the United States. Hillman was a microbiologist. Micro means small. Biology is the study of life. Microbiologists study tiny living creatures like bacteria and viruses. As a microbiologist, Hillman specialized in creating vaccines to fight against diseases or sickness, like measles and mumps, that are caused by viruses. During his career, he developed over 40 vaccines that are estimated to save nearly 8 million lives a year. Jim Murray, labor leader, 1935 to 2020. Jim Murray grew up in Laurel, Montana. After high school, he went to work in the oil refinery there. Jim was active in the Oil Refinery Workers' Labor Union. A union is an organization that stands up for workers' rights and fights for better pay. He went on to lead the Montana AFL-CIO. The AFL-CIO brought together many unions, from oil workers to teachers, so they could work together to try to improve the workers' lives. Jim Murray worked for the Montana AFL-CIO from 1966 to 1981. This was a hard time for Montana workers. Increasing mechanization, using machines to do the work that people once did, meant that it took fewer miners to dig copper in Butte or cut timber, wood for building, in Libby. There was also less copper to dig. To help the workers who lost their jobs, Jim brought training programs to Montana. These programs helped people learn new skills so they could find new ways to make a living. Eloise Pepillon Cobel, banker, activist, 1945 to 2011. Eloise Cobel grew up on the Blackfeet Reservation in a home without electricity or plumbing. She studied business in college and started the Blackfeet National Bank. It was the first national bank owned by an Indian tribe. She also became tribal treasurer, the person who keeps track of money. Cobel discovered a problem. The Bureau of Indian Affairs, BIA, a part of the U.S. government, controlled a lot of Indian land. The BIA leased or rented that land to ranchers or mining companies. The BIA was supposed to pay Indian landowners the money it made from leasing their land, but it had not kept good records. When the BIA refused to fix things, Eloise Cobell sued them in court. After 13 years and several trials, Cobell and her team proved that the BIA owed many Indian landowners money. To settle the lawsuit, the U.S. government agreed to pay these landowners $3.4 billion. What will your contribution be? How will you contribute to our state, nation, or world when you grow up? Will you become an artist like Charlie Russell, a businessman like Marcus Daly, or a nurse like Susie Walking Bear Yellowtail? Will you stay in Montana and work to make your community a better place to live, like Anna Dahl? Or will you be like Maurice Hillman and use what you learn growing up in Montana to help the world?